Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, Hollywood!
Yeah, yeah.
Dude. What is that?
My life for the last week.
Oh, you have a dog. I saw the picture.
Yeah, dude, that dog is a badass.
But I bet.
That's been the soundtrack of my week. Cute little guy, though.
What kind of dog is it?
It's an English bulldog. Oh. He's white and brown.
Those are pricey.
Dude, they are. And you know what? You have to, You have to sort through, what the dog's parents were or had, or health problems. It was definitely a process. I think it was like adopting a kid, if there's anything that's parallel to it.
But those dogs are hard to get because the dogs have narrow hips.
Yep, narrow hips, and also
so they don't birth very easily,
and they don't survive past a certain amount of time. But dude, this guy, we actually found a breeder that had 10 pups, and they had sold 7 of them. And they had one boy and 2 girls.
What did it set you back?
Dude, it was over $1,000. Dude, it was not pretty.
Damn.
It was definitely a kick in the nuts, if you know what I mean.
It's a lot for a poop maker.
Dude, it was robbing the bank. But you know what? He's so worth it. And the timing, with the passing of my saxophonist.
Yeah.
It couldn't have come sooner. And the funny thing is, he's just been taking my mind off it so much.
Has he ruined anything yet?
He hasn't ruined anything.
He will.
Dude, I know he will. But, dude, we have a hard eye on him. Both eyes. But the crazy thing is, his name is Otis. We named the dog before we even knew we could see him. And when we saw the dog, he had a little O spot on the top of his head. And I was like, honey, this is the one. She's like, what about the girl dog? I'm like, we can't name a girl dog Otis, and this guy's got an O, and he's so much cuter. Yeah. So
it all adds up.
She's in love with him. I'm in love with him. I mean, I literally am in love with this dog. He's saving my life right now, which is
that's awesome.
It's been awesome. How was your week, man?
It's good. I was in Tucson.
Tucson must have been hot. Was it hot?
No, it was like 80 degrees.
What were you doing in Tucson?
Laughs Comedy Cafe.
How was it?
Fun.
One night, 2 nights.
Friday through Sunday. Mm. It was a fun time. That place is always fun.
What do you do during the day when you are on tour?
Well, I took my wife and child with us.
Oh, so you did something
fun. So we did. We did a cave tour. Went to a cave.
Oh, that's awesome.
Went to Old Tucson where they shot all the old westerns.
Yeah.
To the movie studio.
Oh, that's dope, dude.
Just a bunch of, tourists.
Wait, is that where you took the picture of your kid on the
train
stage?
Oh, on the stage, yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. That was at the comedy club after the show.
Because I was looking at the comedy club. I'm like, I don't know that comedy club.
Yeah, that was in Tucson.
Ah. Awesome.
I did the Valentine's show.
So you spent Valentine's at a comedy club?
Yeah, I was working on
Tracy's
Valentine's
Day. Yep.
Spent Valentine's at a La Quinta Inn with a 5-year-old.
How romantic.
I spent it at a comedy club on stage.
I actually...
Making dick jokes.
I went out to a dinner, and then I went and saw 50 Shades of Grey.
Why?
It's the woman's choice. Valentine's Day is never the guy's choice.
For an abusive relationship. Let's go watch an abusive relationship on film.
It was like a soft porn, It was all right. It was actually wasn't painful. It was all right, It was definitely not what I was expecting. I thought it would be like crazy, and it wasn't crazy at all, So I think it was.
Did you read the books?
No, neither did she. But she heard about the books from all her friends. So everybody,
I think Tracy tried to read the books, and she got like 4 pages. She's like, "This is boring."
She's like, "This is terrible.
This is stupid.
This is terrible writing."
This is
a lot of people actually said that they laughed through it. It was like, "This is not great writing."
I think the people that made it really popular, like really repressed people, like the people are like really,
I'm sure, and that's
really
like
repressed, and like that was their outlet.
I thought it was weird that it would come out on Valentine's because it's not a lover's movie. You know what I mean?
Because I watch a lot of porn. So
you're like, this is soft.
This is nothing.
This is nothing. But it was cool to see a movie with 2 people I'd never heard of or seen of. I know the girl is Don Johnson's daughter. Did you know that?
Melanie Griffith and Don Johnson.
Yeah, so it was cool to see, you know, two new faces, seeing what they could do. And I think it could have been casted better, but I think they did a good job, too. I think they did all right. Yeah, so that was my Valentine's.
Good for you.
You get some chocolate?
No.
Did you give any chocolate?
No.
You got to give chocolate on Valentine's.
I gave roses.
Oh, that's nice.
I gave roses. That's good. I got roses at a Tucson 7-Eleven at 3 a.m. on the way home from the show.
That's awesome.
Because they were in a hotel room, and I wanted to sneak them in because I like to surprise when she wakes up. There's flowers.
Oh, that's romantic, dude. So I've never seen this side of you.
I bought the roses, and then I got them back at the hotel. I'm like, fuck, I don't have a vase. So I took the water bottle I was drinking. I cut the top off the water bottle and stuck them in the water bottle.
That's clever. That's clever.
And then I took the wrapper off the roses, and they're 7-Eleven roses, so they're like half brown. So it was like these wilted roses
on my flowers,
in an Aquafina bottle.
That's funny. She must have thought that was really romantic, though. I mean, girls eat
that's one way you could take it.
I gave chocolates this year. The dog was like a gift, you know, from her and I to each other. But
well, see, I get like double ended on because I have Valentine's Day and then 3 days later it's her birthday, so I'm just like bam bam.
Oh my god, really?
So it's like rough.
So her birthday's today or tomorrow?
Yeah, today.
Oh, today's her birthday. Oh yeah, I just posted on her page.
Yeah,
happy birthday, Tracy. Yeah. She's like, great, Eddie. You're gonna go.
She's out drinking with friends right now.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. Are you gonna meet up with her later?
No, I have a 5-year-old sitting in the waiting room right here, hoping he doesn't come in during the show.
He's coloring with one color.
He's coloring with my ballpoint pen.
This forest is going to be blue. It's an enchanted forest.
Anyway.
He's a good sport. He's grown so much.
He's a good kid.
So yesterday was the memorial for my sax play.
Yeah.
I want to talk about it because it was actually pretty extraordinary. Like, there was over 400 people. There were over 400 people there. And the crazy thing is, like, Zane's brother passed away 2 years prior,
mm-hmm.
and there was never a memorial for him, which I thought was crazy.
That's weird.
So Zane always wanted to throw a memorial for him, so they made it a memorial for him and Chance. The reason why it was significant that they both did it together was, and I didn't know a lot about this part of Zane's life, but Chance, his older brother, was a famous tap dancer, like this world-renowned tap dancer.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, it was
talented family.
Dude, you know what was crazy? Like, so Chance taught Zane how to tap dance at a really young age.
Yeah,
and Zane ended up winning like this huge contest of tap dancers from around the country, and he ended up going. They showed this clip, and it was unbelievable. It was Gregory Hines.
I can hear you crinkling the wrapper.
Oh, I'm just like throwing.
Just eat it and put it down.
I'm just
just crinkling the wrapper under the microphone.
So Gregory Hines was
what is that freaking noise?
Like, what is that? We have rats.
Is he wearing a diaper?
Gregory Hines was he was on the Donahue show, and he introduced Zane as this kid that won this tap dancing contest. And I'd never seen Zane tap dance. When I played the Apollo Theater, he told me he and his brother also performed at the Apollo Theater, so I knew he was good. But dude, I had no idea he was as good as he was. And
if you could have had him tap dance when he won one of your shows.
And you know what? He was brilliant, dude. Like, he was 10 years old doing things that I'd never seen, even in this modern day of tap dancing. And the crazy thing is Savion Glover. Do you know who Savion Glover is?
No.
So Savion Glover is like one of the most famous tap dancers. Like, he's alive now. He was on the show as a kid, and he was looking at Zane with mouth agape, and they showed his face, and he's just like, what the, you know, like, how's he doing that? And the cool part was Savion actually came to
the funeral?
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Last night, and he did a performance in memorial of both of them.
Wait, he tap danced at the funeral?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Dude, it was, you know what? It was like, there were musical performances, there were speakers. I was a mess, so I couldn't speak.
I couldn't even imagine.
But my guitarist, he spoke on behalf of the NK band, and he told some funny anecdotes. And I actually made a portrait of Zane at a festival that we played, and printed it on canvas. And I wrote a poem for his family, and got all the band members to sign a card. So I wanted to do something personal for Zane, and it was really therapeutic to do that for me. But man, to see 400 people crying in a room and then cheering because, you know, they had a New Orleans-style funeral march at the end of it, and they took everybody from the room and went downstairs and had a jam session until the wee hours of the morning, which I thought was just the best way to set them off. So it was awesome because I got to run into a lot of old friends and a lot of people that I didn't know that Zane knew or played with, And I discovered things about his life I didn't know, and it was awesome. So
that's awesome.
It was crazy, though. It's like this dog has been helping me get through.
Yeah, dogs are the best for that
stuff.
Dude,
it's unbelievable. It's like they know. It's like they're like, yo, you must be sad and heavy-hearted. Let me lick your face and make you feel good.
That's why if you have a dog and your dog dies, you buy a new dog immediately.
Is that the plan?
That's the only way to get over your dog dying.
Is Buster, is he on his way out?
Are he
you,
could be.
How old is he?
13.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, we're going to have to get a new dog soon.
Oh, man. So, Colton, he doesn't know. He doesn't know where dogs go yet.
Not yet.
I think you're going to be more broken out because I know you're very attached to Buster.
Tracy's going to be miserable.
I thought it's your dog, though, right?
It is, but I've had dogs. I've had dogs my whole life. I'm used to this. She's never had a dog.
Oh, that's the first cut is the deepest.
Yeah. And
my first dog.
I've had
dog,
three oh, prior to this one. So
this is my third dog. Yeah, so I'm prepared for that, too. And
I know, like, what's going to happen.
Bulldogs don't live past like 9 or 10, you know what I mean? So I'm prepared for that now, but I definitely am in love with this guy. I'll bring him by sometime because you got to just come by and just see him because he's just...
Yeah, I want to.
He looks like a cartoon dog, honestly.
It's awesome.
It's like, man, this dog is the shit. So, yeah, man, I'm glad to just have something like that to kind of lean on a little bit.
That's
and
good.
He's making me laugh and he's bringing a lot of joy. Oh, I think our special guest has arrived, Mr. Mark Price. Actor, comedian, I like it.
He's eating one of your friggin' candies.
You
both wear diapers.
You really can't leave a giant bowl of these things sugar addict.
God damn it!
In recovery.
Mark, you're not supposed to be snorting them.
He's got like a half-eaten orange, his juice box, and bunch of candy wrappers.
You got like, where are the Lunchables, dude?
I've never had a guest make themselves so at home so quickly.
I make it a little messy, and then I feel at home.
Do you need a placemat?
People come into my hotel rooms on the road. Do you know, is that me? What,
like, I was somebody? Like, he's got wind
shots. He's taking calls now. So at home. Okay. So at home here.
Dude, you want the remote control on a TV, too? Oh, you have two cell phones?
We're good.
Do you deal drugs? Is that you, Eddie? Who's that?
That's not me.
It's not me.
I think I was. I turned it off, but it still is.
Oh, it's still vibrating.
So we have basically screwed up this intro.
So for those of you who don't know, Mark Price, he played Skippy on Family Ties way back when.
Thank you.
And he's also a very talented and wonderful stand-up comedian.
I was raised on a pretty healthy diet of Family Ties. Sha-na-na-na. You know what that is, right? Of course.
What's the theme song?
Yeah, dude, of course.
I'm a professional, by the way. I know to turn off my phone before an interview.
No, you just... And set up a picnic in the middle of it.
That must have been... Can we start with that? Because I'm definitely excited to talk about Family Ties. I'm sure you're like, dude, I've had a lot of conversations
I've
grown
to cope. I'm not...
No, it was the shit, though. You were part of, like, American, you know... Like culture in a big way.
My thing is not that I don't talk about it, though. I just want to say I'm okay with it.
Well, good.
You're one of those guys that can't talk about it.
I've grown to cope.
You're
and not that many people want to talk about it anymore, too. I'll be honest with you. The whole young generation doesn't have a clue, an idea.
Right.
And so it takes a very specific age demo. And of course, there was that time when there were less choices. HBO was new. And
There's four channels, three channels. I think at the time, three channels.
But, I mean, the cast was amazing. The writing was amazing. Mm-hmm. They tackled issues. The characters were amazing. I mean, everybody had a role that was enjoyable to watch and progress.
Yeah, and then Bill Cosby has to go wreck it for us all.
Yeah, just ruined it.
Honestly,
is that why the show stopped? Really?
What's that? No.
Oh, I was like,
he's a date rapist.
I was like, dude, did he seduce you?
No, I meant now that the legacy of a charming 80s sitcom.
Right. Of course.
It's been
the
tarnished.
Dark side.
I immediately
side.
Yeah, but your show is all good.
No, I'm telling you, girls won't touch their drinks when I come by. He must chop up puppies. What does he do?
You're like,
what's his depravity?
How old were you when you started that show? Because that show was on for about a decade, right?
By the way, Bill Cosby complained that Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, when they hosted the Golden Globes, he said they poked fun at him. And I'm like, at least you were awake when you got poked. I hit a joke.
Hold on, I need to find my little.
Yo, where's your freaking rim shot?
No, dude. Hold on.
It's okay. All right.
No, it's too late now. There.
It's because I got to turn the iPad on. I got to find it. It's work here, you know. Then I got it ready. Now that I know he's a jokester,
it's the aftershock.
So, how old were you when you started Family Ties?
I was about 14, I think, the first time I went on there, 15 maybe. I was the kid comedian, so I was doing stand-up before.
When did you start stand-up comedy?
Crazy young, right? I followed in my dad's footsteps. My dad was a comedian.
Wow, that's awesome. No, I didn't know that.
And he worked in the Catskill Mountains and stuff, but he had this rich history, and he was on TV.
I didn't know your dad was a stand-up
comedian. He was on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's incredible.
My dad had an amazing history in show business. I can only hope to come close. He worked with Sammy Davis Jr., and I could go on with stories and stuff. With Mickey Rooney during World War II. On the radio with Fred Allen in 1940 when he was a kid.
Wow.
That's nuts.
And that was, that was the...
What a way to get into show business, or to be just
American Idol of
introduced.
Day, right? The Fred Allen show on radio. That was where everybody was
to. You were like 13, 14 when you started stand-up comedy? Or even younger than that?
Even younger than that. With my dad, I'd go on stage with him. Like when I was a baby, they'd bring me out like I was like a little...
Really?
Have you brought your kid on stage with you yet?
Not during the show. After the show, I brought him up on stage, but never during... I haven't done it during the show yet.
See, that's the thing. When I look at your beautiful, beautiful, beautiful boy, I think, well, a father and son comedian.
That's a beautiful boy, Marty.
That was from an off-key singing.
I'm just kidding.
That's for taking down a John Lennon song. But, I think about that relationship that I had with my dad as a comic and everything. What do you have to worry about? Look at me.
That's amazing.
Okay. No comment there.
Because my wife brought him into the show this past week in Tucson, and he watched the entire, he's waving to me right now. He watched my entire set, and I'm dropping F bomb. I mean, I'm doing a set for adults, and he's just laughing the whole time, and he's like applauding and laughing, like he's totally into it. And then I tried to get him to come up on stage, and he got all shy, and he didn't want anything to do with that. Which is, I don't know how I feel. I don't know if I want him to follow that path or do his own thing. I don't know.
It's interesting debate. I don't have a child, so I don't have to ask that myself. But my parents fought about it. My mom was not into it.
Really?
Yeah. She's like, don't.
So I don't have an opinion.
Might get on
a
TV show.
If he wants to, I'd help him. If he doesn't, I don't care. I want to do what makes him happy.
But my dad, that sort of thing, was into it. My dad was definitely. My dad was the idea of a little him,
right?
Doing stand up. It was their family business.
That's awesome, though.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's a great way to learn.
I
learned at such a young age. That's crazy.
He'd take me to go see the greats, too. To me, he was always my hero, and that was going to stay that way forever. But he would go to a great deal of trouble in the Catskills in the summer. They'd have a lot of celebrities that come up on the weekends. And so this is the tail end of the Catskills in the 70s, kind of as it's kind of going downhill,
Right.
Remember, for your listeners that don't even know what the Catskills is, maybe they remember the movie Dirty Dancing or something,
right.
Which is not an accurate representation of the Catskills. But at least it's a reference point, right? But that was where you would get... It was almost like a cruise ship on land. Did you know that? You would pay one price and you'd get all the meals and there'd be
shows.
It was an all-inclusive thing,
All-inclusive thing.
Wow.
You'd pay one price.
It's like Sandals now, right? Isn't Sandals that way?
Yeah, it's rare
in
that
the Bahamas.
You see anything like that anymore, really. But I like a cruise ship. Cruise ships are like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so part of it was the entertainment. There was dancing and there was food. You go, there's lunch and dinner. They had brought in the celebrity. So my dad would take me to go see. He would go to a lot of trouble, too, to drive out of his way to drop me off to go see Robert Klein or David Brenner or George Burns or Milton Berle.
You got to see all those guys perform.
You said George
Joey
Burns?
Bishop.
Dude, he was one of my favorites when I was a
Not
kid.
Not only did I see these guys, I hung out backstage with him.
What?
I was Al Burney's kid.
That's insane.
I'd go get Milton Berle his tea.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
And give him a joke. I remember that was such a big deal that he hit a joke that I pitched Milton Berle a joke and he did it on stage.
Wow.
And
that's amazing.
That's wild.
That's literally like...
Hello there. Thank you.
It was late.
That's literally like the Mount Rushmore of comedians you just named. It's just that's crazy.
I remember the joke, too. They just installed... This was at the... Oh God. What's funny is I remember telling... It was at the Brickman Hotel, which was one of the smaller ones there, because there's the Concorde was the biggest one.
Yeah.
Grossinger's, right? And the Brickman was smaller. And I told this story back to Milton Berle in later years. I went, I pitched you a joke and you did the joke, And I told him the story and I went, it was at the Brickman. He went, I never worked at the Brickman.
You're like, what?
He did. I was there. And And anyway, they had put this new kind of like carpeting on the walls. Like that was a big thing in the 70s. Like wall-to-wall carpeting, literally. Like
literally wall-on-wall carpeting.
Let's do it. And actually,
it's
cool.
No, I'm serious. Like, I don't know if you're not too young to remember that.
I'm an old man.
Carpeting on the walls. No, no,
I don't remember carpeting on the walls.
It was a style for a few minutes there in the 70s.
Very few minutes.
Anyway, this showroom did it. I don't remember that at all. They put crazy carpet on the wall. And there was a commercial back east that was on at the time, that was on all the time, that was like, I forget the name.
That had to make every room sound so muffled when you walked into it.
And hot.
Maybe it was good for comedy. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, the commercial was, it's like having an uncle in the carpet business or something like that. And I just said, I know that. So I told them, no, that was the commercial. I didn't even do the joke. You got to get your rim shots right.
I'm sorry, man. I'm late. I'm not a drummer.
You know, it's very uncomfortable when you rim in the wrong place.
You can't rim the setup.
So, anyway, that was if working the brick bins like having an uncle in the carpet business. Okay, so let's discuss. So your son now has that same opportunity to get into it because he's young, so he's got.
But I'm barely on the outside of it, so it's not like he's got a pipeline into it. It's, I'm still trying to get into it myself.
He's knocking on the door.
Yeah, I'm scratching on the window.
Yeah, but as he gets older, you can start taking him to the comedy store and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, I used to go to the Westwood Comedy Store. You didn't have to be 21 to get in because it was set up for college kids at UCLA and stuff.
That burned down, right? Or did the Improv burn? Which one burned?
The Improv burned down at one point.
Yeah, the one
it was
on
like
the...
somebody threw a Molotov cocktail at the
Improv.
Really?
Oh yeah, there was a whole thing with there was a whole thing about the comedians getting paid and there were strikes.
This big strike and
there was like a lot of drama.
And there was the Improv crew and the Comedy Store crew. It was like.
Comedian jumped off the Hyatt roof of the comedy store. You don't know any of that history?
Yeah, it's not a good history.
It's a dark
it's a dark it's history.
It's a dark twisted world.
It's a dark time. But it's gone ahead and
George Burns like?
Well, all right, let's see.
Yeah, give me a good George Burns story.
You know, my in with these guys was my dad. Right. It wasn't family ties.
Right.
It wasn't Skippy. I wasn't trying to get laid.
Right.
You know, it wasn't Michael J. Fox.
You weren't trying to fuck George Burns?
It wasn't even Michael J. Fox. It really was you're Al Burney's kid. So these, you know, my dad was on the roast for George Burns and like the Friars roast in 1968 or whatever.
That's incredible.
On the dais, you know. These guys, you know, they knew each other for right. So I come in and I introduce myself. I actually had an office. George Burns kept an office at the same freaking lot forever. Do you know that? When he was old man, he would come in every day and read the paper and go over his offers or do whatever he'd have to do for 20 minutes and then he'd go to the club and, you know, but he did that every day because that's the kind of work ethic that the old school comics
old school
have.
Cats. Yeah.
And so anyway, I found myself, and so his office was condemned. The actual office that he went into every day was finally condemned. They put like red tape on it. He came in one day, they're like, you can't go in there anymore. And so they gave him, I don't know how it worked out, if he requested it or how he ended up with an office, but this is, I forget what it's called, but it's like off Santa Monica. It's one of those little studios.
Yeah.
Not Gower, but one of those, anyway, Santa Monica.
Yeah.
There's a few of them there. And they gave him just a regular kind of office in a square building with other offices and stuff. And I had an office in the building at the time. And so I was upstairs and he was downstairs. We actually had an office in the same building.
Wow. That's amazing.
And he'd come in every day and read his paper and talk to his agent and do the thing. And I introduced myself. I came down one day and I said, you know, and the guy goes, hold on one second. He goes in, Al Burney's kid. And I got passed in, man. I got in. I sat down. We talked. He gave me a cigar.
What?
Oh, yeah.
That's so awesome.
Wow.
You should have saved that cigar.
I did for the longest time. I believe me, if you only knew my ability to organize and keep things. I've lost some of the big comedy,
grapefruit and the
comedy memorabilia. How about this? Okay, so Lenny Bruce was friends with my dad.
Wow.
And they wrote together. So they weren't just friends. They actually wrote together.
Wow.
And Lenny wrote for my dad, which is weird because at different times my dad wrote for Hollywood Squares, my dad wrote for Sammy Davis Jr. But in this case, Lenny would write for my dad. And I had a typed, you know, with a blue cover and everything, from Lenny Bruce, a bit. But it wasn't hand-signed. It didn't, you know. But I remember the letter, the cover letter said, a typist is, you know, taking this down in dictation. So I have to watch what I say, you know. So I'll send you a separate, you know, list of curse words on, or list of curse words under a separate cover.
That's killer, man. Shit.
That's crazy.
So you grew up in comedy, and then you auditioned for Family Ties. I assume you auditioned and went through the whole process the way...
But I was a little, had a little edge, because my dad was who he was. And again, I... you know, a lot of people say, oh, did, you know, I certainly didn't have that... my dad was, when he wasn't, when he came out, by the time we came out to Hollywood together, my dad was a Catskill comic who wasn't, right. you know, on the top of the scene or whatever.
Right.
So it wasn't like the heads of studios were like, right. oh, you're Al Verney's kid. Let me.
Right.
But I had my people, right? Like Jackie yeah. Mason and George Burton. No, but I mean, I had my people that would care.
Right.
And so one of them was a very good friend of my dad's, very good friend, who played the grumpy dad in Laverne and Shirley, Phil Foster.
Yeah.
And a lot of people credit him with helping their careers, and I'm one of them, actually, but there's plenty of people bigger than me that, you know, Fonzie and stuff, whatever, I don't know who, but
wow.
there's people that go, he's the guy that helped hook me up and made my career. But in my case, what he did for me was he took me to the Paramount lot. I just was visiting my dad. I hadn't moved out to California yet from New Jersey. My parents got divorced. I moved out with my dad eventually, but at this point, I'm just visiting. And he takes me to the Paramount lot, and he goes, anybody asks, you know, I'm your uncle, Uncle Phil. You just tell him, Phil Foster's your uncle. And he sent me off to just explore the lot, and they were making Bosom Buddies.
Oh, my God.
And Tom Hanks came over, a young Tom Hanks, you know, to see who the kid was watching on the side or whatever, and shticked it up for me a little bit. And he was not a superstar yet, but he was already the star of the show.
So yeah, he must have been super cool.
That's what I'm saying, like, to bother to take, you know, to say hello to a kid. And then years later, he was on Family Ties, by the way, just to
yeah,
make
yeah,
the whole
yeah.
thing kind of wow. come full circle.
That's right.
But they
he was the alcoholic uncle.
Yeah.
Mark right? and Mindy. And they were doing, well, Laverne and Shirley and Happy Days, I remember. And anyway, so I got to go check out all these shows in action and everything. So by the time I auditioned for Family Ties at Paramount, the same lot where they did all those things, I had a little edge over the other kids right. auditioning. I right. must have been scared shitless, and I felt a little comfortable about the
right.
whole thing.
Right. You're like, I'm going to get this. I'm going to nail this audition.
I don't know if I was that cocky, but I definitely had that edge of being, I was familiar with the lot.
Yeah.
You know, just because just that's an awe-inspiring
just being
thing.
Comfortable is a big, huge thing.
And for a youngster on a big lot like that, you know, you're in Lucy Park, the Lucille Ball's personal
yeah.
park, you know, where they built it for her so she could have a place with her baby and stuff.
Yeah, just that's be crazy. Just to be comfortable in this business is a huge thing.
What was your favorite episode that you worked on?
Oh, they were all good. I don't know if I have a particular favorite. The one where I kissed Mallory.
Oh, there you go.
That's my pat answer from 20 years ago.
I remember when they were like in a singing group and you were Mr. Sandman and you were like sprinkling little dust on them.
So one of the girls in that singing group is related to, you know, she's a Phoenix. River Phoenix's sister. Blanking
oh, wow.
her name. She's an actress. And then another girl, a little girl in that singing group is Christine Applegate.
Wow, really?
Who went on to be on Married with Children.
Oh, my God.
Does movies
what
and
a
TV
trip.
Shows. Very hugely talented.
It must have been amazing to work with Michael J. Fox and Justine Bateman and the whole crew. I mean, it must have been kind of like a family.
Indeed it was. Much a family, a real family in action right here, right now. The real, true family ties. Eddie and his youngster nice having fun.
Eye contact.
Anyway, with so what have you been up to recently?
With your cutie. I have such respect for you, Eddie.
You're why?
Because... I complain about going on the road and how hard it is, and I have no children, and I have no wife.
Yeah, but that's a blessing when you want to go on the road.
I can only imagine how much harder everything is for you than it is for me. That's all I'm saying.
You know, I love them, but at the same time, it does. It is.
Of course, you love
it
them.
Is an anchor
it's
that holds you somewhere.
Thing possible.
You know?
I don't mean yeah. to take away from that at all.
No.
I just mean that responsibility it makes me feel better about my own.
It makes me feel so much better about my own decisions and things I've done in my life.
You like make good choices.
I'm more happy with myself after knowing you.
Knowing your life is a nightmare. I just want to tell you that my life feels like a dream.
When I feel bad about myself, I just think about I could be him.
By the way, I've been eating candy this whole show. Let's see.
Dude, the funny thing is you started with a grapefruit, but you got like 4 or 5
pieces of candy.
Yeah. Well, we walked in. He's like, hey, I'm not drinking soda. I'm on a diet. And I'm like,
I'm
on no soda diet, but I ate tons of candy.
Emotional eater, which means I cry when the pizza's gone. Yep. Better hit that
trigger. Wait, it's a rim shot.
Ah, wait.
It's not a drum roll.
I wanted to wait.
It's not starting the joke.
I wanted to build suspense. There's two for you.
You build suspense after the joke.
I'm here on that, y'all. Yeah.
No, but
that.
Honestly, I have portion control issues. There's no doubt about it. Like at Trader Joe's or whatever, I need those little packages. Like even like they sell the dollar little chocolate covered nuts or whatever. And even there's so many, and I eat every one, and they're you know not tons, but enough.
Yeah,
but it's too much. But yeah, full thing of candy is a problem for me. But about 2 months ago,
it's all right. You've only had two pieces. You're
I good. Started a very specific diet, and I've kept to it. And it actually candy is. Is allowable on this particular diet.
Candy's bottomless bowls of candy is allowed on this diet.
Wait, you're allowed six pieces of candy on your diet? That's not a diabetic diet. I love
it. It's not encouraged. But the diet is very specific. It's been good for me.
A couple lines of cocaine are also allowed on the diet.
The old joke was the Quaalude diet. Doesn't curve your appetite, but most of your food falls on the floor. I forget which joke that was. All right. So this diet is no fast food, no fried food.
Why is there chicken? What is that?
There's fast food. There's chicken and fast food.
Doesn't even make sense.
No, it's not no chicken. I eat chicken.
Okay.
No fast food, no fried food, no soda.
And that's it.
That's it. And it was tough. The first 2 weeks, I go to a movie. I got to have my soda. I'm at the movies. Can't have popcorn without soda. Now, don't care. No soda.
Have you lost weight?
I have lost some weight, and I've been exercising, and I've been rollerblading, and I'm definitely feeling better about it. And I eat juices and smoothies instead, and I know there's sugar in those, but it's from the apple. It's not from the...
It's not processed sugar.
Yeah, right.
Except for the bowl of candy you just devoured.
No, I know that, but that's the next thing. I've got to add to the up the ante.
Oh.
The next level is added sugar.
So was that phone call the 90s calling for your rollerblades?
Or no processed food.
I'm just kidding. Rollerblading is dope, actually.
So,
I love it.
Okay, so the next step is no processed sugar.
At Venice Beach.
No processed food is the next step? Well, no, that's going to be difficult.
No processed food, I think, would be easier than no sugar.
Sugar, I agree.
The problem.
No sugar.
Chocolate. You know, got to have chocolate.
Yeah, but...
Chocolate is sugar. And how do you give up
no
chocolate?
No sugar is tough.
But
that's
no
tough
processed
one.
Food.
You can definitely eat not unprocessed food.
Yeah, you go organic and you have to cook.
You get salads, you get chicken. The best thing is just eat food that's like one ingredient. But dude, I ain't doing that. I gotta tell you, I'm still in holiday
anyway,
mode, dude.
I'm not judging anybody out there. This is after years of fried food and comedy club food.
Comedy club food's the worst.
What is comedy club food like? Tell us.
Chicken fingers, mozzarella sticks, wings, quesadillas. Like,
and they feed you. That's like their
usually either get. Most clubs you get deep free or half off. So, of course, as a comic, you're like, I don't want to blow my paycheck on food.
Right. I don't want to make it.
I'm going to eat at the
they
club.
They always give it to me for free.
Oh. And he's like, that's the good life.
Well,
special event.
Wow.
And he's really pissed about that. Rubbing a little salt on his wounds.
Like I said, I'm scratching at the window of show business.
They charge $2 more for those tickets. You know.
That sucks, Eddie. That's okay.
Sorry.
I feel you. I'll get you some mozzarella sticks.
I get half off wings. I can't complain. Half off wings is not that bad.
Well, let's play one of your comedy bits before we run out of time.
All right, so this is a very special routine.
We do it live.
So,
why don't you set up the clip?
Well, to be like really hip on a talk show, you got to pretend you don't know anything about it, right?
So we're gonna play Child Star.
One clip.
Child Star clip. Right out of the blue.
Let's hear. I already hit the joke on the show. I apologize. I have free jokes.
I'm ready if you need me.
Here we go.
This is from the Orlando Improv.
Right, this I got. Here it comes.
It's not playing.
Okay.
All
right.
It's not getting any audio from it.
Average. dude, way to man the controls, Eddie.
I played it, but no audio's coming out.
He never played at the Orlando Improv.
Right there. Mark Price, Orlando Improv.
Are you setting it up now?
There's no audio coming out.
You can try the technology one, or there's no audio coming out of any YouTube.
I don't think from the computer into the soundboard.
People can YouTube. It won't be
YouTube. Mark Price, MARC.
Well, we got Renan coming in here.
I was counting on
PRIC.
We're not getting any audio on this YouTube clip for some reason, but I'm just going to.
We'll cut this part out.
We're going to just charge ahead. I really wish I had like a Jeopardy theme.
There we go.
We got it.
Here it was comes. On mute.
Way to go, Eddie.
There was a mute.
Thanks for that.
There was a mute button.
By the way, and Eddie's my tech guy.
Yeah. So
that's a scary thought.
That's bad for both of us.
How come I'm not in trouble with the law? How come I'm not in the tabloids? I say, give it time. Look how long it took Charlie Sheen to self-destruct. How many people think this is the bad turn in my E! True Hollywood story and you're watching it live? How many people think I'm going to go out and rob a 7-Eleven later, get really drunk, and just... Starface, lots of them! Natalie, Tootie, cover me! Urkel, start the car! It could happen. It could happen, people. I'm very lucky. My mom, growing up, was a cop. That's what kept me on the straight and narrow. When your mom has a gun in her purse, you learn to respect your mom. Other kids would come home drunk and stoned. Their parents wouldn't have a clue. My mom was swabbing Q-tips inside my mouth, sending hair samples directly to her lab. It was like CSI my mommy. She'd come into my bedroom when I was a teenager and look it over with one of those blue lights. What's this? Hold on. It looked like I was painting. I was a teenager. My stepfather growing up was an alcoholic. You guys are like, yeah, this is Orlando, and? Where's the story? I remember I innocently asked him, what's a Phillips screwdriver? And he said, milk of magnesia and vodka.
That was awesome. That was clever.
I get jokes.
Dude, you are a jokester. So
it's old school mechanism, though, right? Young comics. I hear it's coming back again. Like skiing's come back again. You know, snowboarding was the big thing.
I've got that female voice programmed into
sorry.
Hit that mute button.
My bad. I just started playing other stuff.
Yeah, you got a slap for that. Anyways, what were you saying, Mark?
I forget.
Dude,
it's coming back skiing.
Oh yeah,
coming back snowboarding.
The joke hitting is coming.
Rollerblades. That's like a couple years ahead of us.
You don't think rollerblades coming back?
I'm just kidding. Joking.
Hoverboards.
I still am waiting, man. Still am waiting.
This is the year, you know, 2015 was.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Back to the Future too.
What if they honestly
Cubs are going
to
win the World
how
Series?
How badass would it be if they're like, by the way, here it is.
Would you rather Google?
Would I rather Google
or hoverboard? If you could have one or the other, what would you rather?
Hoverboard.
No, not really. Think about it. Google,
dude.
Smartphone,
Yahoo,
all that.
Yahoo.
I know, but you know what I mean.
Well, okay.
I
mean,
would you rather?
Hoverboard.
The ability to have
hoverboard.
Really?
Holy shit! Yeah.
You have the entirety of the world's knowledge in your hand.
In your phone.
I'd rather and you'd rather have a hoverboard.
But I'd be the only kid that has a hoverboard.
We have drones.
Doesn't matter. I have.
No,
a hoverboard.
You know, I didn't say anything, but you'd be the only one. No, everyone has.
Okay, fine. Yeah, everybody's got a hoverboard, and we're all hoverboarding.
Nobody has iPhones.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Everything ever created or written is right here in the palm of your hand.
I wouldn't give a shit because I'd be on my hoverboard, Eddie.
You'd be dead on your hoverboard.
Hard to compete.
Hard to compete. So tell us, like, do you ever go back to looking at your dad's shows? Do you ever uncover, like, new material that you had never heard him do or anything like that? That
inspires you to write? I used to be able to do that. It's harder to do that now because he missed the internet generation. And while there's, like, a diary entry that refers to him coming with Mickey Rooney in World War II before the famous, you know, Battle of the Bulge and stuff.
Wow.
There's a photo of them performing for the troops, you know, by a Jeep, you know, without a real show set up at all. But one guy's got the accordion and, you know, like there's like a little show going on, just, you know, makeshift. There are a few things online, but it's mostly he just missed the online thing. That just wasn't his era. I have
crazy.
Probably and lost, maybe in my VHS collection, which is God knows in what condition at this point, is a tape of all of his Ed Sullivan's, which he did many of them.
Oh, man, you got to put those
times.
Well, those
you
would be in
Eddie
would,
to put those on DVD.
Yeah, but those would be in the archives of.
One of them's in the archives for sure, maybe all of them at this point. One of them for sure is at the famous television.
Yeah, archives. Television radio archives.
And that one is from pre-Ed Sullivan. It was called Toast of the Town before it was even called The Ed Sullivan Show. And my dad's on in like 1948.
Wow.
That's crazy. That's amazing.
Amazing.
Dude.
He hosted his own show, too, back in those days, too. It was called the 54th Street Review. And Bob Fosse was part of the dance team of Niles and Fosse that was on that show. And it was the at a TV studio on 54th Street, which became, you know, Studio 54, the disco, was a TV studio turned into a disco, right? So
yeah,
that was where that happened.
That's wild, dude.
Yeah, cool.
Do you still keep in touch with all the people that you worked with on Family Ties? I mean, there's have to be some ties to Family Ties.
Family severed ties.
We're untied.
You're untied. Family severed all completely? Ties. No, not that's one, not, true. Not that's Tina Yothers or anything?
That's not true. That's not true. First of all, everybody's super sweet. Everybody genuinely super sweet. And we did have a tragedy. Our leader, our fearless leader, the guy that really led the whole thing, is Gary Goldberg. He was our executive producer and our creator and the guy that led the whole ship and did such a great job at doing that, you know, because everything starts at the top, right?
Right.
And he set a great example for everybody. He was just a great guy. And he's no longer with us. He and nobody expected that. Nobody expected Michael to get sick. But nobody expected to lose him early. And anyway, that brought everybody together. But unfortunately, it was a sad occasion, you know. But there's been other occasions we've gotten together. We won an award and, you know, whatever. Like, won an award, by the way. It was like TV Land.
I mean, I'm buying. TV Land Award.
I'm buying into that.
TV Land Award winner.
They did it. Then they got the cast together to come show up on TV for free. We won an award.
That's awesome. Hey, that counts for something.
Anyway.
So you still do have
everybody keeps in touch a little bit, but yeah, but it's not like we're all hanging out all the
no,
time.
No, but what no, TV family really right. is.
But nobody know. Hates everybody, and it's
but that's cool. Yeah, see, yeah, that's cool yeah, to hear. You yeah. know, it's like nobody's in jail. Nobody's like, you know, pissed at each other. Or
one of the
no
kids, little kids in jail. No, he's not,
I was like, oh actually, shit, Andy is in jail.
No, he's not in jail, but he had that's terrible for me. I'm not like I'm nobody to judge. He had some issues with the law or something like that. Actually, he's doing very well, I believe, and his. Family was always wonderful with us back in the day, too. Not only the little boy, but he had his sister and his mom and everything. We were actually very friendly with him.
Wow. That's crazy.
Speaking of which, I think we've got Eddie's out.
We just lost Eddie.
Is this boy five years old?
5 years old. He's just in kindergarten.
Wow.
Kindergarten boy. Eddie was in kindergarten not too long ago. He still dresses like he's in kindergarten right now.
He definitely has the...
I know. Everything all right?
You dropped a piece of candy on the floor behind you.
Oh, shnikes.
No, that's how yeah. I feel more at home.
Well, let's play some more comedy. This is Mark Price.
It's Mark Price.
Eddie's got the mute button off.
There you go.
I've got that female voice programmed into my GPS. I'm worried that once a month... my GPS is going to get PMS and direct me off a bridge. I know it.
Why didn't you say thank you when I gave you directions? How dare you enter my backseat without asking? Why don't men give women real orgasms?
A little too close to home on that last one. Sorry about that one, fellas. Do you even appreciate technology, a young guy like you? You didn't ever have to deal with carbon copy paper. You were born into Google, you skinny bastard with a pretty girlfriend. You don't even know to appreciate it. You just were, you do this by freaking, that's what all the kids do now. Everyone does. I went out on a date with a girl. She did this the entire date. The waiter came over. I had to look her up on Facebook to see what she wanted to order. And a salad. All right. I was doing this years before you in the 70s. I don't want to age myself now, but we had Coleco handheld football. Anybody here remember that? Nobody's going to admit it. You got the iPad. We had the Etch-a-Sketch. It was red. Much easier to operate. Two buttons, vertical, horizontal. You didn't even have to hit delete. You would just... Try that with your MacBook. I'm on a date, the girl Googles me at the table. How humiliating. You're 40? I said, you can't believe everything you read on the internet. Check MySpace, I'm 26. My penis is like MySpace. No one's on it anymore.
That was super fucking funny.
That has been changed to my naked body.
of your head. That was a good joke. I like that.
We've taken the word penis out of it. Yeah, it's not a dick joke anymore.
No, it's a body joke.
It's a body joke.
Anyway, I know you want to talk about some of the stuff you're working on now. Do you want to mention it?
I haven't worked in 20 years.
Neither have I.
These are all clips from 1980s.
No, it's not showbiz related. Shocking, really?
You don't have it's good. You're well-rounded.
You don't have a new Hollywood project you're working on?
You're well-rounded.
It's not like nerds are popular on TV. By the way, I realized this in another interview I did this week. I was like, you know, the biggest sitcom is like Two and a Half Men, and the lead character is like a total nerd, and then there's like Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, you were like 20 years ahead. You were 25 years ahead of your time.
20 years ahead of your time, totally.
But where would a role be for a nerd on television? Every role? Every show? But I'm not bitter.
You're the original.
But I have a project that I'm working on that's a water project.
I love water, so talk to us.
Yeah, look at that. We're drinking it out of the plastic bottles that'll probably kill us right now. It's a water conservation project, and it's fascinating stuff because we're facing this drought, and the underground aquifers are drying up, and the whole idea of diverting the Colorado River in the first place is well-intentioned, but possibly not the best idea for nature, etc. I don't know that this technology that I'm behind now existed. It didn't at that time, so
right.
You can't really blame them for building the Colorado River. And by the way, it is the for building the dam. Sorry, the Hoover Dam.
Damn!
Which, it is one of the greatest feats of American ingenuity. Yeah. And, you know, you can't take that away, that level of, you know, we got it, you know, let's do this, and we did it, and everything. But we do cut off a giant river. You know, where did it go? Do you ever wonder about, you know...
Like, how to shape the rest of that part of the country.
Right. Well, and it goes into Mexico. That's who we screwed.
Then. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like when they irrigated... from Northern California, and they irrigated down to Southern California, the middle part of California became dry. It didn't used to be that way.
Messing with Mother Nature is never a great idea.
Yeah.
And diverting water from one place to another place, it's just not as good as this technology that I've stumbled into.
What is the technology?
So first of all, I didn't develop it. I didn't invent it. I'm not like Kevin Costner invented a thing and somebody else has got a thing. Whatever. I'm just the guy that stumbled into this, but nobody seems to know about it. So it has to do with being able to grow anything at all, trees, fruits, vegetables, crops, lawns, using rainwater only year-round, even in the dry summer months of a drought year in a central California or a Nevada climate, you know, a desert climate. And the way that this works is, so you can be off-grid. You don't need a pipe that connects to the water company, you know. And the way that it works is it collects rainwater. It could also use gray water in some cases, depending on what you're growing, black water. And it harvests that rainwater, you know, when it does rain, and then saves it safely underground. And because it's a sub-irrigation system, the water is introduced underground, so there's no human contact. That's what makes it safe versus, like, if you were to take storm water and sprinkle it on top the old-fashioned way.
Right.
They would consider that potentially dangerous. But because there's no human contact... The guy that developed all this comes from a long background in the public health department in New York City, New York State, many years. And so this is completely safe. And basically, it's sand hydroponics. So it's rainwater harvesting combined with sand hydroponics. And sand hydroponics is this really unusual way to grow anything. Who knew you can grow anything out of sand?
Yeah. They usually tell you that's the worst thing to grow food in.
Well, you would think so because generally the way that sand normally works is it's, you know, the water just would go and drain down the past the roots, etc. But the way that this works is with there's like a liner at the bottom, and it's about a 15-inch profile to grow in. And so what happens is when you introduce water at the bottom of sand, there's a scientific principle called capillary rise. And the water wicks up on its own without having to pressurize it in any way. If you introduce water at the bottom of sand, it will wick up to the top of sand on its own. And it reaches the roots.
Good use of wick. I like that.
Yeah, and the roots take as much water as they need to drink, no more and no less. The roots just take what they want.
Right.
So it's the optimum situation for the roots. As well as the water gets recycled, it kind of goes back into the system. It's really amazing. And then you can be used again. Wow. Very little evaporates. There is a little bit lost.
That's crazy that they have that much technology and time to have... learned about this process.
Well, it exists. It's in the Middle East. It's even in Los Angeles. There's a park on La Cienega called Westside Park. And in that case, because all the projects are different and they all work in different ways and you can do different combinations of water and things, you can have a little city water and depending on how much collection area you have to collect the rain, it's, you know, there's different ways to do it on every project. this park, West Side Park on La Cienega, it takes stormwater that's heading towards the ocean, gross stormwater, the kind that keeps you from going surfing right after a rain event for a few days.
Or eating fish that's fished out of the bay.
It takes that water.
Thanks. It's a solid joke. Solid.
Nailed I used it. To be a comedian. Now I'm a conservationist, by the way.
There's more of a future in that, I'm afraid.
You've been to a comedy club lately? And so, anyway, it takes the water and it takes the storm water and it uses the storm water to irrigate the park using the system. And then it sends that water back out to the ocean cleaner than it was before because the sand actually acts as kind of like a filter and cleans the water as it goes through it. It's an amazing process. ECS Evaporative Control Systems, ECS-green.com. If you want to check it out, you can learn more there.
ECS-green.com.
ECS-green.com.
That's amazing.
ECS-green.com. Stands for Evaporative Control Systems-green.com.
And that'll catch you up to everything you just talked about.
Well, there's a video that explains it a little bit more. There's science and stuff. It's not easy to comprehend, okay? But it's real. I've personally vetted it. See, so that's why I feel confident that it works. Some of these installations have been in 10 years. So I've talked to people that are in maintenance, et cetera, that own it, et cetera, and I know it works. And I've seen it, too. I've gone to see ones that have been in for 10 years, school fields and parks and things. But nobody knows about it. Everybody I tell about this, that you can grow stuff off-grid with rainwater only year-round, even in a drought year. That part of it, just people don't know anything about that.
Yeah, they're like, I'll just pay the water company.
Yeah, well, and of course with the drought, and farmers and stuff, you know, because this could work for big agriculture, but it's such a change. And you tell
people
farmer,
hate change.
You look a farmer in the eye and you go, okay, there's no soil involved here. You don't need a tractor. And they look at you like you're totally crazy. It's just a whole new way to do it.
Well, they're probably just like, that's a lot of words. Did he say wick as a verb?
ECS-green.com.
And Mark, what are your websites too?
Farmers, it turns out, just have a very, very specific culture, and they know everything about the cost of the tire, tractor, you know, and all like every little bit of what they do. It's all based on numbers and stuff. Yeah. And so to tell them they're just going to shake up their boat. But you know what happens is, of course, when they have no choice, when there's a serious drought, then everyone will...
Yeah, when the water runs out, then you're fucked.
Then we'll all because, be drinking milk. Everybody's
60 Minutes did a piece and everything about how the underground aquifers are running dry.
Yeah.
And they keep running deeper and deeper wells. And they've done this in the Middle East, so they know that ultimately what could happen, I guess, it's not
lava.
Decisive.
Lava comes up.
Stuff... Well, BS comes up, though. It's not just lava, but actually the water gets compromised. At some point, that well, you won't be able to just keep going deeper.
Yeah.
Wow.
You hit China, and then...
bets are lost.
This is a comedy show. I am so sorry. I'm back.
No, but that was good stuff. That was very informative, good stuff.
That was my...
I'll put one of those in. Everything's all good.
I am...
And I made a digging to China joke, so...
Ed Begley Jr. I'm Ed Begley Jr. Thank you very much.
Anyway, so do you have a... So you're going on tour right now. Is there any way people can catch up on you?
It's a Fresh Jar Skippy tour. It kicks off in...
Oh, that's a great name. Fresh Jar Skippy.
Where am I kicking off? In Fairview Heights, Illinois. And the cool thing is that this first Wednesday night, it's a club I worked just a few weeks ago, and I'm coming back to do just the Wednesday night now. It's called Hey Guys Comedy Club, and it's for the Hospice of Southern Illinois. It's a wonderful organization, hospice workers that take care of people in the crazy last times of their life at home, give them a feeling of dignity and respect. People want to die.
Is that your opening line? Hey guys.
I'm going to start.
Hey guys.
Hey guys. And so, anyway, we get a chance to perform. It will raise money and awareness for their organization, but it's more for the workers, the actual people that do that job.
Just to have a break.
Just to come.
And where can people find your website or all the tour dates? Do you have a website?
That is the most humiliating thing.
Google Mark Price.
I have a Facebook page. I have a Twitter guy that was faking being me on Twitter and had more followers than me as the fake me, and he was being incredibly rude to people and saying racist things and stuff, and I finally had to stop it. I actually contacted Twitter and I said this guy's, you know, posing as me, and so they gave me his account. They closed him down, and they gave me all the emails.
Oh, they gave you all the followers?
Maybe they gave me his followers. Maybe. I don't know. I don't even know that. But they gave me all his emails, all the people that had contacted him and all his responses and everything.
Oh, wow.
And people contacted him to get me on radio shows and things like that. And he says these crazy responses. It must be a comic. He says things like, no, I don't think so. The last time I'm on the radio, I said some shit about Mexicans and it really got bad.
Mark Price, what's your Facebook so everybody knows?
Facebook, it's M-A-R-C, Price, Mark Price.
Mark Price. I don't
know what else.
And check out the other, ecs-green.com.
Definitely to learn about how you can grow stuff with
rain
water only. No paid-for water, no drinking water, no infrastructure water.
Anyway, thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate you coming on the show. For Nikhil.
Mark, that was awesome. Skippy.
Here, one more candy.
Oh,
there's one more left?
Nikes.
That's amazing.
We'll see you here next week.
Bye, everybody.